We are now live.
Okay. Good evening, anybody in attendance. My name is Aurora Jackson. I am the general manager, and we do not have a quorum for this meeting yet. I do want to give it a minute or two before we determine that this meeting will be canceled. So I definitely do want to make sure that we do not cancel this meeting prematurely. If this meeting is needed to be canceled, we will post a new date. We are aiming for, let me look at the calendar. Hi, I just, perfect. We have Stephen Yet on the public side, and we will move him over. So Camille, could you move Stephen over?
I just did. He's on the phone. The last digit's 117.
Thank you. Camille, could you reach out to Emily? She might just be running late. And if Emily is on, we will have a quorum and we do not need to reschedule this meeting. And if we do need to reschedule for lack of quorum, we were planning, I was going to check that date just to advise parties what we are thinking. Of course, the date would be confirmed in advance, but we are thinking we only have one contract. Kalina, can you confirm?
That's correct. We only have the one contract for this meeting.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. If we only have one contract, we would likely reschedule this meeting for 5 o'clock on March 17th, provided Stephen and the other board members can make it. We will have a new board member, Michelle Weber, joining this group, and I believe that time is feasible. So if Stephen could make it and Michelle, it would only take about 10 minutes at the most based on the number of questions. And that would still allow us to approve this contract at the regular board meeting in on March 17th. So I think there's still an opportunity for us to get it all done. It just requires us to accommodate things briefly. I cannot hear you, Stephen. You can't. We'll double check your audio, make sure it's not on our end.
It looks like he is muted. There we go.
No, Stephen, it's not good. Well, he might be. You know what, Stephen?
No, actually, AJ, I think I'm unmuted now, but maybe having me on mute is the best thing.
I don't think so, no. And Stephen, we're just confirming whether Emily can make it. She might be running a few minutes late.
Sure. Is Michelle on the phone?
No, I don't believe Michelle is making today's meeting.
Is she? Actually, it looks like she is in attendance on the attendee side.
Let's bring her over to her. We're two out of three.
You've got a quorum. We can move forward. You guys are amazing.
Okay, and I have not heard back from Emily just yet, but now that we have a quorum, we could proceed. And Stephen, since you are the senior member here, if you wouldn't mind chairing, that would be much appreciated.
And we'd be happy to help you, Stephen. If
I'm
you need
senior
any help.
Nothing.
But Stephen, really, if you and Michelle want to each of you appoint a chairperson,
Michelle, I know, has been on committees, and the role today would only be to say the meeting's called to order, call attendance, present. Do they have minutes to approve today?
It doesn't look like it.
And all you would do is call that there's only one topic on the agenda today. Staff would make the presentation, and then you guys would determine if you guys wanted to recommend it to move forward to the board. So,
Michelle, I'm happy to do it, or you want to do it, Michelle?
I will let you take that. Go for it.
Oh, you big chicken, you. okay. And by the way, Michelle, welcome. This is the first official... well, I guess you attended the last, well, you weren't technically a board member, but welcome aboard now officially.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
This is Stephen Yett for the LTD Board of Directors calling this meeting to order and doing a roll call right now. Michelle Weber.
Here.
Emily Secord. We will note that Emily, as of the moment, is not present, but hopefully she will join. And I, Stephen Yett, am also present. And now what do I do, ladies?
And we have one item on the agenda, and I'd be happy to ask staff to begin their presentation on that, and then we'll allow for any questions that the two committee members, okay, you guys may have.
Okay, well, wait, I think I'm skipping something. Comments from the chair. I guess I'm the temporary chair. No. AJ, do you have anything that you would like to add to this meeting?
I will welcome Michelle, and that's it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, there is one item for action today, the WSP USA Inc. meeting, and I believe it's Kelly Howell who is doing a presentation. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Oh, please don't call me, sir. then I open this up for a discussion, and Kelly, I yield the floor.
Great, wonderful. Should I go ahead and share my screen with the copy of the AIS? Would that make sense to do? Okay. I'll take a yes. We'll go ahead and do that. All right. So thank you so much for having me today. You heard, my name is Kelly Hale. I am the Sustainability Program Manager here at LTD. And that means I am working in the Fleet Management Department. I work under Matt Imlach. And I'd like to be here today to ask you to please forward to the Board of Directors with a recommendation of approval, a contract with the consulting firm WSP USA Inc. In the amount of $225,000 for the purpose of developing a fleet procurement plan that would allow the district to meet the goals that are outlined in the climate action policy statement that was passed back in June of 2020. And just because I know, Michelle, this is your first time at the contract committee, the reason we are doing this for you at this time, I'm getting a little feedback, I'm hoping that disappears, but because the board must review and approve all contracts in exceedance of $149,999. And since this contract is for $225,000, that's why we're here before you today. So what I'd like to do is first give you some information about what this project is and what it's designed to accomplish. Then I'll touch on briefly what the procurement process was like. And finally, I'll touch on where the funding sources are coming from and what alternatives you have today if you choose to approve this or if you choose to do some other actions. So I'd like to turn your attention to the history and description here. Basically, this project is called the Fleet Procurement Plan, and it's designed to allow the district to evaluate all of the available fuels and technologies that are on the market today for both of our fixed route bus as well as our paratransit fleets. So the types of fuels and technologies that are under consideration as part of this project include the liquid biofuels, the hybrid vehicle technology, renewable natural gas, hydrogen from a variety of sources, and battery electric technology. And we'll be evaluating those different fuels on a number of criteria. We call that a triple bottom line. So we look at environmental criteria, social equity criteria, and financial criteria, as well as the operational considerations that are required for LTD to put these vehicles onto the road and fulfill our mission. This plan is specifically designed to figure out what is the most efficient way across those triple bottom line criteria to allow LTD to meet specifically two of the goals that were in the climate action policy passed by the board in June. The first of those goals is that we are trying to get to a 100% reduction in fossil fuel consumption over the next 15 years, so by 2035, as well as a 75% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions from our own fleet vehicles by 2030. So that's kind of the overview of the project. The description of the procurement process, we actually put a best value request for proposals out in the fall, and we received only two proposals at that time, and actually it turned out that both were significantly higher than the independent cost estimate that we had developed as part of this procurement process. And so because of that, we went back to the drawing board, we revised the scope of work, and the main problem there was just that there was a misunderstanding of the number of variables that would need to be studied in the first round of the procurement. So what we did was we cut back on the number of variables to study in the very beginning of the project. So we instituted something in phase one of the project called a fatal flaw analysis. We are looking at which of those fuels and technologies that I mentioned before will actually meet the most important criteria to get us into, okay, yes, this will actually help us meet those climate action policy goals and will work for our specific location and the service needs that we have. And then once we figure out those initial criteria, then we can go into additional analysis. And because it will be on fewer criteria at that point or fewer alternatives, we were able to save significant scope. And when we put the RFP out the second time with those clarifications to the scope of work, we were able to get five proposals. Five proposals were received. We had an evaluation team internally. The evaluation team were in consensus that two of those five rose to the top. So we had those two come in for an additional presentation to describe their scope and approach. And throughout that process, WSP USA was identified as the firm to provide the best value to meet the requirements outlined in the scope. And just for reference, WSP was the one in the first round of evaluations that was scored the highest. And then they were also scored the highest after the presentation. And they also were able to provide the lowest cost proposal. So all around, it seemed like it made the most sense. And we're making the recommendation to move forward with WSP. So you can see here on the AIS that the total contract value is $225,000. We were able to secure some grant funding in the amount of $125,000 to contribute to this project. Those funds came from regional funds that were appropriated by the, allocated by the Metropolitan Policy Committee, and then they were transferred, as LTD does, into federal funds for us to be able to utilize. So I'd like to just turn your attention to the fact that you have a few alternatives before you today. The first alternative is that you could deny this contract and ask that the work be done internally among LTD staff. That would require some significant trade-offs though, and significantly more staffing would be required to provide the necessary resources to contribute to this project. It's not something I could do alone. I would need some additional support. And it would also significantly impact the project timeline, just given the other responsibilities that I currently have. The other opportunity would be that we could, since right now the way the scope of work is allocated is that we're looking at both the bus fleet as well as the paratransit fleet, we could start by only looking at one or the other of those fleets. Most likely we would start with the fixed route fleet, and that would reduce the overall contract amount, but it would delay our ability to understand the opportunities that the district would need to invest in for getting to those climate action policy goals, because those are applicable to the fleet as a whole. And there could be some opportunities of scale or some coordination that could be missed if we looked at those two types of fleets separately. So that's all I have today. I'll just leave you with the fact that we did discuss this project in detail at the last ad hoc sustainability committee. So those folks are aware of this, are aware of the intended scope of work and are supportive of that work. And I would be happy to take any questions that you have at this time.
Kelly, I just want to jump in just quickly. I want to note, as the temporary chair, Emily, believe it or not, I'm the chair for the moment. I just want to note that Emily joined us about 8 minutes ago or 10 minutes ago, and welcome, Emily.
How much of that did you hear, Emily? Do you have any questions, or do you want me to go back to any of the part before you joined? Well, I think you're on mute.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Ah, okay, thank you. Sorry, I'm having audio issues on top of everything else, so apologies. My main question was just timing, if this needed to be done in a certain timeline, or if we could postpone this a little bit while we're kind of dealing with some other priority items, and sort of what your thought was on that based on the funding.
Sure, so that is an option. You could always delay it. What that would do is that it would push the decision-making process back. And right now there are funds that are available for infrastructure investments. And without this plan in place, it makes it very difficult on staff to actually understand what the long-term goals would be. We're faced with an aging fleet right now. We have, there are grant programs, there are competitive grant programs, there's new funding coming out with a variety of different fronts. And it puts us at a significant disadvantage to not have the plan laid out, especially with the fact that the fleet procurement goals say the 15-year time horizon, because the average life of a bus is 12 years. And so, and we've traditionally held our buses for about 15 years. So that doesn't give us a lot of time to invest in buses now that would be inconsistent with whatever we would develop in terms of a fleet procurement plan later. Does that make sense? Do you have any other questions about that?
It does. I'm trying to balance the strategic planning component and then just, you know, always being mindful of outlays, especially in light of having had to do some layoffs last year. And just trying to be cognizant of all of those pieces. So I think this is important work, but I just want to make sure we're being thoughtful. So thank you, Kelly.
Yeah. I would just add, you mentioned the strategic business planning process, and I think that this would dovetail nicely with the work that's being done as part of that. And to have both plans, you know, kind of working simultaneously, the fleet procurement plan is inherently going to need to follow the values and the approach of the strategic business plan, but having those two happen kind of right on the tail of one another, like the fleet procurement plan would happen right on the tail of the strategic business plan, I think would be a significant advantage for LTV.
I have a couple questions, but Michelle, do you have any questions first?
I'm kind of coming in at this with very little background, so I'm gonna have to kind of rely on you guys to walk me through this one.
Have any questions? You're of course welcome to speak up. Kelly, I have a couple questions. One is regarding the balance between the fixed route fleet and the paratransit fleet. What is the percentage of use of fuel?
Sure. So if you look at the results from our greenhouse gas inventory from 2018, fiscal year 2018, about 3/4 of our total emissions came from the fixed route fleet, and about a quarter of it came from the results of the paratransit fleet. But right now, and with the presentation that I just provided to the Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee, the switch that we've done in the fixed route fleet towards renewable diesel has had a significant impact on the fossil fuel use and the greenhouse gas emissions from the fixed route fleet, but it has done nothing to assist with the paratransit fleet. So that's the remaining source that right now has not been addressed in any sort of way, and we need to be looking further into the future to figure out what is the long-term solution? Does it make sense to stay with liquid biofuels, or should we eventually be continuing to invest in electric or renewable natural gas or hydrogen technology? And what does the timeline look like there? So does that help give you a sense of the scale between the two fleets?
It does, thank you. And so that leads me to the following question that I would like your thoughts on. Is there any value in trimming this project back to just look at the fixed route fleet, with the idea being that whatever we implement there, there will be learnings that we can then smartly apply both going forward to the fixed route fleet and also the paratransit fleet?
Yeah, I can understand that question very much. And I actually originally had thought of this project as first starting with the fixed route fleet and then going into the paratransit fleet. What I realized through the two rounds of procurement and what the consulting firms that have provided guidance on this project, and I think is really the right approach, is that we have an opportunity to really significantly look at our operations as a whole and figure out where there is synergies between the different fuels and where that synergy might impact or reduce costs as we look at investing in new infrastructure. And if we take a look at those things separately, we might miss those opportunities that would, in a life cycle or a total cost of ownership approach, miss out on some of those opportunities or synergies. Each of those fleets have different needs. There's different technologies that are available, but you know, for some of them, in terms of battery electric or hydrogen or even renewable natural gas, the fueling infrastructure and things would be similar between both. And we'd want to be looking at sizing the equipment appropriately for whatever makes sense for both fleets so that we can get the best total cost of ownership picture. We do have two different locations where these vehicles would be operating out of potentially, and so we'd need to be looking at those details as well, since our paratransit fleet operates out of the Garfield Street location while our fixed route fleet operates out of the Glenwood location. But I would just caution you that there could be some missed opportunity if we really take a separate look. And I also think that the incremental cost of doing both at the same time, since a lot of the same information will be applied, the total cost of the project by looking at both simultaneously would be lower than if we split it out and had to recreate the process a second round.
Oh, I think that last point is well taken, and thank you. And I just want to make sure that I heard you correctly. You're saying currently the fixed route fleet and the paratransit fleet have somewhat disparate fueling needs, and that by looking at this as one unit, we might be able to get some economies of scale by having both of the fleets on a similar system. Is that, did I understand that correctly?
There could be opportunities there, yes, to explore. Right now, all of our paratransit vehicles are fueled on gasoline, while all of our fixed route fleet vehicles are fueled on diesel. They're fueled out of separate locations. Like I mentioned, the paratransit fleet is at Garfield and the fixed route is at Glenwood. But if we made a switch to, for example, one of the other fuels, whether it be hydrogen or RNG or something else, then we would want to be purchasing a bulk amount of that fuel and having it be brought to the different locations, or potentially look at where it would make sense to be fueling all of the vehicles that we own.
Well, that makes sense. I have a macro question from about 30,000 feet. And regarding the contract itself, I imagine that this is a question that has been asked by many transit agencies around the country. Maybe the identical question.
Absolutely.
Is there a possibility to just forego spending $225,000 and reaching out to an agency that we know has done it very, very well and just borrow that information? Anyway, that's the question.
That's a completely reasonable question to ask. And it's one that I have done a lot of research on, and I have extensively looked at what other agencies have done. And you're exactly right that lots of agencies are in fact doing this work. The tricky thing as you move into renewable fuels and with the board goal of getting to renewable fuels is that unlike the situation that we've been in with liquid fuels like diesel and gasoline, all renewable fuels are not equal. They're not the same whether they're coming from different, you know, the same refiners or distributors, right? And so when it comes to renewable fuels, your location really matters because it's all related to both the carbon intensity and the availability of that fuel. And there's a number of other factors that really can change the price of things that are specific to the transit agency. So the amount of space you have on your facility, the type of routes you run, the length of routes you run, and which fuels will allow you to meet that longer range, the type of electricity that you have and the primary fuels that go into generating that electricity, what other types of fuels that are available in your region. So just one quick example is that in certain locations, like if you are in Sacramento, there is hydrogen that is being generated in the city of Sacramento. And so you could have access to hydrogen in your same city, right? But for us in Oregon, hydrogen is either being produced in Canada or in Sacramento. And so in order for us to get access to that hydrogen, it would either need to be trucked to our location, which would change the carbon intensity of that product, or we would need to generate it on site. And so that's going to be a very different picture for a transit agency that might have access to different resources compared to our specific location. And I've seen that people have tried to use other plans that other organizations have developed. But when you start taking into account some of those local considerations, then it can really change the entire results of your analysis. And so I want to be very careful and cautious and develop what makes the most sense for LTD in terms of looking at all of those situations. Also, many of those organizations that have done that have been in places that have different policy landscapes, such as California, where only certain technologies or fuels are even on the table based on local state regulations. Or in states where, you know, we have preferential access to certain low carbon fuels because we have things like the Oregon Clean Fuels Program that other states don't have. And so that really changes the financial picture as well. Does all that make sense, Stephen, or do you have other questions about that?
That was a stellar answer, and thank you. That was very helpful. And I certainly appreciate some of the issues that you brought up, such as the geographic one and the legislative side of it. We're not in CA, we're not in Washington. But then that leads to another question though. Is it possible to team up with some agencies that are along the I-5 line, Salem, Portland, Roseburg, that might be looking at the same question, and we can team up to share the information and share the cost and hopefully be working under a lot of the same constraints that you just brought up?
Sure. And that's why, you know, when we were able to, between the first round of procurement and the second round of procurement, we were able to significantly drop the cost of the project by the order of several hundred thousand dollars between what the first set of proposals came in at, because we were able to talk about all the partnerships that we have and where we can get data from. So LTD is a member of the ZEBRA group, which is a transit association, the Zero Emission Bus Resource Alliance that shares data. We're part of a number of other trade associations that give us access to data and that provide us resources. And all of those things were brought to the table in a more explicit way. And that is what caused us to be able to drop the total cost of this project dramatically between the two rounds of procurement. You know, each transit agency, is even along the I-5 corridor, is going to have differences that are still significant. The local carbon intensity of the electric grid is very different between Portland, that has investor-owned utilities, and, you know, our location that has municipally-owned utilities that get power from Bonneville Power Administration. Down in, you know, Southern Oregon or even Chariots, they already have a significant amount of natural gas infrastructure that they've already put into their bus yard. And so they wouldn't have to have the same level of infrastructure investments to get their maintenance building or their other fueling infrastructure updated in the same way that we would. But we're further along on electric buses than either of those locations. So the pricing and the total cost of ownership picture is going to be very different, but we are already coordinating very closely with them. And part of this project will have a set of subject matter experts that are part of this, that are from the fueling industry, from the policy landscape, and from other transit agencies, and even local fleet operators like EWEB, for example, that have had experience in these areas and can provide a lot of guidance to bring the cost down on the project, as well as make sure that the data that's being looked at is actually accurate for our location.
Okay, so you're basically saying it's hyper-local.
It is.
Bottom line, okay.
Yes.
Michelle, do you have any questions that popped into your mind, or Emily, do you have anything else?
Maybe a background question, since I'm kind of coming in at this with, you know, not a lot of history. So the climate action policy statement, is that kind of goal-wise, is that a short-term, long-term? What does the scope of that?
Sure, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that for background. So that came, LTD produced a greenhouse gas inventory in 2019 that showed the consumption of energy and the generation of greenhouse gas emissions from our fleet. As a result of that, based on that knowledge, the board came together in June and passed this climate action policy. There are a variety of pieces to that. The first piece is just saying that we recognize the urgency in climate change, and that we recognize that transit ridership is the first and best way that LTD can combat climate change. And so, you know, when we're not in a pandemic and when it makes sense to focus on ridership, that is something that we will choose to do in order to fight climate change. But then there are three goals that are quantitative that are included in this policy. The first states that we will get to 25 electric buses in the next 3 years, so by 2023. Which is about a quarter of our fleet, if you think about our fleet having about 100 buses. The second goal says that over the next, and so that's the short-term goal. So you're asking short versus long-term. So that's the first part in the short-term. The second part is goal two says that over 15 years, we'll get to a 100% reduction in fossil fuel consumption. And the reason we picked 15 years is because I mentioned before that the FTA determines that the minimum useful life of a bus is 12 years, and LTD has traditionally kept our buses for approximately 15 years, so a little bit longer than the minimum. And so because we set that parameter, that would allow us to completely turn over every bus in our fleet over that 15-year time horizon. So by that point, we would hope to identify the solutions that would allow us to get to 100% renewable fuel. The second part of goal two was that at the same time that we're reducing the fossil fuel consumption in our fleet, we would also be reducing our greenhouse gas emissions. And so we have a goal of reducing our greenhouse gas emissions from our own vehicles by 75% over the next 10 years. And then goal three has a number of qualitative goals that say that we'll be looking at progress annually, that we'll take a comprehensive look at all of the fuels and technologies that are available on the market today and how we can accomplish these goals, which is what this project is specifically intended to do, and that we'll be working with our partner jurisdictions to look for opportunities for greenhouse gas reductions as well. Does that make sense? Do you have any questions about that policy?
Yes, thank you. That's very helpful. It just kind of gives me some overview. So I think what I might be hearing from Stephen and Emily is some concern over the cost of doing this right now. I think that's what I'm hearing. But I would also guess that you're bringing this to us at this point because you think this is the right time to start moving towards this, even given, you know, budgetary issues that have come through the past year based on things we, you know, just couldn't control.
I do. And, you know, I completely understand the situation that we're in financially. So I understand the reticence. I would just caution you that right now there are a number of financial questions that are coming at LTD to say there are new sources of funding that are coming in. There are new opportunities. There are new competitive grant programs. And we need to figure out what alternatives we're going to be investing in, because those funding opportunities are looking at beyond the next 3 years. And at this point, we have identified the technologies that we're investing in over the next 3 years. And after that, we have some some questions as to what makes the most sense. And if we delay this project at this point, then that pushes back, and either we are now making decisions without the appropriate level of understanding of the alternatives, which is most likely to happen, or we're not able to make those decisions until this work is done.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Emily, do you have anything else to add?
Yes, my last question, Kelly, sorry, we're putting you through the ringer today, but just before this goes before the rest of the board, assuming we approve it today, was there anything that you felt was important to add from the Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee? Any like big words of support or words of concern that would be relevant for us to consider?
No, they were very supportive of this project in general. I think they understand that without this work being done, that it puts the timeline of being able to meet that climate action policy at risk, just given the number of factors that have to happen in a row to be able to get to that 15-year time horizon. And so they were very supportive of the work. We went through the approach to the work. There were no concerns that were addressed at that meeting.
Emily, anything else?
No, that was it. Thank you.
Just keying off of Michelle's comment, yes, I am concerned about the price tag, but I also think that there is a, I also think there's a cost if we don't do anything now. As you say, Kelly, to get the ball rolling, if we're going to honor our commitment to lowering our greenhouse gas footprint, et cetera, and support what the Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee is trying to accomplish, I get that we have to do this now. And certainly you've given this a lot of great thought, and I'm so I'm on board. I just have one final question for you, Kelly, and that is, do you have any concerns with the WSP proposal? Do you think it's missing anything? Just do you have any general concerns about it overall?
No, I'm very excited about working with them. They have a long history of experience in transit. They have a long history of experience in all of the fuels and technologies that were mentioned. And I think we've set up the project really well for success, having learned from several other organizations that have done similar work and structuring it to have the subject matter experts involved to really review the data and make sure that we're coming with information that makes the most sense for LTD. So I'm very excited.
Okay, and I guess I misspoke. One more question. Emily asked this, I may have missed it. What is the timeline for this report to be completed?
Yes, so as soon as we can start the kickoff on this, we expect the entire project to be completed within a year. That was the schedule that the consultant, that's what we had asked for, and the schedule that the consultants have provided also met our expectations. There are the two phases. So phase one is doing that fatal flaw analysis, and it would get us to the question of knowing which fuels and technologies would make the most sense for us moving forward. And then we would figure out the application of all those fuels and technologies to figure out what percentage or a proportion of our fleet would go for each one of those and what the timeline would be like in phase two. But that first phase would be completed within 4 months. So that would get us the information that we need to be going after these grant funds to put better information for the longer term into the CIP and to understand how we might be able to go after different funding packages that are available. So that would be able to happen quickly.
And then after the phase one, is it your expectation that we would share the information with the full board and with the community at large and then proceed from there?
Yes, the intent was that we would provide a detailed presentation to the Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee, and that the information would all be provided to the full board as well. And I don't know yet whether that would be a written set of materials or if you'd like a full presentation, that would be fine as well. So we can discuss that. But yes, the two main time periods for presentations to board members would be at the conclusion of phase one, where we have the selection of the fuels, the priority fuels and technologies, and then at the conclusion of phase two, when we lay out how the fleet procurement plan would look and what technologies were being procured and what capital investments would need to happen to our facility at what year. And so we would, and in addition to that, we would be keeping the general public aware and educated throughout the process. So we have specific goals as part of the project to educate the community and make sure that people stay informed. It's a very technical project, so you know, it would not involve going out for public comment or anything like that, but it would provide very structured education along the way as to what the subject matter experts believe is the best course of action for LTD, given the fact that the public has already been very supportive of the climate action policy that you set, and that this goal is to really just enforce meeting that goal.
Okay, thank you. I don't have any other questions, but I want to make sure if Mark, Colina, AJ, or Wendy have anything to say or ask.
Stephen, I do have something to add. We do feel that this project is a very important project, and it will have the full interest of the board of directors. We typically put these contracts on the consent calendar, but for the purpose of the upcoming March meeting, it will actually be its own agenda item. So Kelly will be able to provide a briefing to the board. And we would ask that this committee provide any input they needed, as well as far as if they choose to make a recommendation. But we definitely do know that this is a project that has a lot of board interest because it supports the climate action policy statement. So it won't just go on the consent and not be spoken about, because we do know that it's important that this conversation be had at the board level as well. But that's, I just wanted to bring that out because I felt that having you guys just do a briefing might not be enough. We might need Kelly to really engage the board for a few minutes and really provide the substance of today's conversation. That's it.
Well, I think that makes complete sense. This is such an important topic, both for LTD, for the board, and for the community, both small and worldwide, that it's certainly worth bringing it in front of everyone and putting as much sunlight on it as possible. Well, AJ, what do I do now? Do I ask for a vote among my fellow board members?
Yes, you ask for a motion to recommend approval to the board of directors, and see if there's a motion, a second, and then if you all vote yes, it would move forward as we indicated.
Emily, you feel like a motion?
Sure, I feel comfortable doing that, no problem. Give me one moment here and I'll pull that verbiage back up. I move to forward contract number 2020-145R to the board of directors with the recommendation for approval.
I'll second that.
And there you have it.
And Stephen, you say any discussion and then we would do a roll call vote.
Oh, well, thank you, VP. Oh, no, President, I'm sorry. Madam President.
Oh, no.
Any comments, discussion? Then it looks like a roll call vote. I'll start with you, Michelle.
Aye.
Emily?
Aye.
And I say aye. So 3 out of 3.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And Stephen, can I ask that maybe before we conclude today's meeting that you ask somebody to volunteer to be to chair this committee, and maybe a vice chair in case of the absence of somebody, so that in the future you don't have to be put on the spot if you don't choose to be. So just a recommendation.
Thank you, AJ. Emily, I ask you to be chair.
I wondered if I was a few minutes late and was voluntold that position. So if it's helpful for me to do that, I'm happy to do that.
Michelle, do you want to
Michelle
be
or Stephen?
I would be happy to vice chair.
There we go. We got chair and vice chair.
Great. Do we need to vote on that officially, or is that acceptable?
A motion wouldn't
that's,
hurt.
That's
Sean says we got to do it.
Okay, well then I move to set myself, Emily Secord, as the chair of this committee for the appropriate term, with Michelle as the vice chair as of today.
I will second that, which means we then have a roll call vote. Michelle?
Aye.
Emily?
Aye.
And I say aye, 3 out of 3. Sean, you're now very happy.
And Stephen, you can just adjourn the meeting at this point.
Thank you, everyone, for attending. Appreciate it. And again, Michelle, welcome aboard. It's great to have you. And this meeting is officially adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Michelle. Great job.
Oh, thank you very much. Someday we'll see each other in person, right?
Yes, that'll be nice. We'll look forward to it. Thank you.
Hi, Sean.
Hi, Sean.